They're off to the right. They'll run behind it. Adrian turns the corner at the 21st down. Breaks a tackle at the 25. Breaks another at the 30. And he's loose. Adrian's inside the 30. 20. 10. Touchdown. It's an 82-yard touchdown run by Adrian. The longest of his career. And he runs the Vikings to the lead at Lambeau Field.
It's Vikings Live at Winter Park, presented by Sports Authority on the Minnesota Vikings Radio Network. Vikings Live at Winter Park is brought to you by Buffalo Wild Wings, Continental Diamond, Quick Trip, and by Sports Authority, the official sporting goods retailer of the Minnesota Vikings. Now, from the Sports Authority studios at Winter Park, here's the voice of the Minnesota Vikings, Paul Allen.
Good evening and welcome to Vikings Live at Winter Park. We have the Chicago Bears this weekend at noon on the Vikings Radio Network. And per usual, we kick off the show with the head coach of the Minnesota Vikings, Leslie Frazier. And today's interview with Coach Frazier, per usual, provided by Sports Authority, the official sporting goods retailer of the Minnesota Vikings and founding partner of Sports Authority Studios at Winter Park. Happy holidays, sir.
Thank you.
Sorry about the outcome in Green Bay. In my estimation, it was a missed opportunity. You outplayed them the majority of the game and quite honestly should have won.
Well, it was a very tough loss. We definitely did some good things at Lambeau, but we didn't do enough to win the game, and we got to bounce back against these Chicago Bears.
And you operated in that game and a couple previous games without Percy Harvin, who has been placed on injured reserve with the ankle injury. First of all, comment on the loss of Percy this season due to the ankle.
Well, you know, it's unfortunate that he was injured. I mean, it's part of our game. We both know it. He's been a tremendous player for us throughout the season. He'll do the things that are necessary during this time away to rehabilitate his ankle and eventually get back on the field to help us to win games.
And, Leslie, I think the A topic with a lot of fans and media members right now and following it either via social media, the radio show, or emails or whatever, is for whatever the reason, people are formulating the opinion Percy Harvin has played his last down for the Minnesota Vikings, even though he's under contract next year. Has Percy played his final series of snaps with the Vikings?
I don't think so. I mean, you're right. He's under contract. There's no reason for him not to do the things that are necessary to get his ankle healed and back on the field again in the future.
At Green Bay, do you feel your defense got a little tired late in the game when Green Bay went on that 11-minute drive?
It's possible. You got to figure out a way somewhere in there in those third downs to make a play, and we just couldn't make a play. And the longer you're out there, there's no question you're going to eventually get fatigued when you have a drive that long. But that's part of being on defense, finding a way on third downs. I think we had four in that series, and we couldn't make a play to get off the field.
Watch some Vikings-Bears film with former coach and player Pete Bursich for Vikings game plan for this Sunday at 10 a.m. on Gear 11. And a couple of the plays he showed, Jared Allen was getting triple teamed. On, I think one of them was the Jay Cutler pass to Matt Spaeth in the end zone, or Jay just ran all over the place. With Jared, he has no sacks over the last five games. Is he getting all of the attention, or is he just not getting there?
Well, he actually had a sack in the Green Bay game, I think one and a half. So he's doing some good things up front, but people are still doubling him. I mean, you saw a triple team that Pete showed.
Right.
So he's still making an effort to get to the quarterback, but people are definitely trying to do things to keep him away from the quarterback. But he's still working hard. He still can change the games just by his presence.
How is Josh Robinson progressing? Because it doesn't seem in calling the games or watching the games that he's frequently on the wrong side of bad plays.
You know, he's making progress. He's one of those guys as a rookie that continues to battle the same things that every young corner in the league battles. There are going to be some good plays. There are going to be some bad plays. And you've got to learn from those bad plays and just keep piling up good plays. So he's making progress, and we're encouraged by some of the things we've seen.
And he plays a lot, too. I mean, I know A.J. Jefferson got a lot of run in the Green Bay game, but Josh, he's jumped right into the fire right out of the gate.
No, he's been a positive for us throughout the year. He's gotten a lot of snaps that we think will help him to be a better player down the road, and he's making a lot of progress as a player.
What about the progression of Chris Cook, who's hurt? What about his progression behind the scenes injury-wise?
Well, the good news is he was eligible as of today to come off the injured reserve list and begin practice. Mm-hmm. So that's a good thing. So we're probably about 2 weeks away from maybe having him back for our last two games. So he'll work and continue to work to get a little bit better conditioning-wise and eventually get back on the field.
Rookie Harrison Smith, interception on that trick play in the Green Bay game. He has two this year with one touchdown. Has he been steady for you this year?
He really has. I mean, the play he made in the Green Bay game, that showed tremendous discipline and poise to go up and make the play that he made. And he's done that throughout the season. His tackling has actually improved. So really pleased with his play.
So with that trick play Green Bay ran, Randall Cobb was averaging, I think, 14.9 yards per run. They tossed left to Randall. Their premise is we expect Jamarcus Sanford and or Harrison Smith to bite all out on the run. We're going to throw it back to Aaron. He's going to go over the top. That's what they were trying to get accomplished, right?
No question. And from a defensive standpoint, there's nothing greater than when a team tries a trick play because they think you're not disciplined on the back end to make that play. You should have saw our sideline. Our entire secondary were jumping up because they know.
Yeah.
That's like a point in the face at the opposing team. See, try that again. That was a great play by Harrison.
So when the Chicago Bears faked the extra point and got in with Adam Podlish, that's the same thing.
Same deal. I mean, it is one of those that kind of gets under your skin a little bit, and I was glad that we came back and blocked one of their kicks.
Does it look like Antoine Winfield has 3 years left, or is that stretching it a little bit?
No, I mean, it's been incredible watching him play this season. He's had a terrific year. I tease him all the time. It seems as if he's found the fountain of youth, the way he's playing. It's possible. He could possibly play, beyond the next year or two.
Do teams avoid his side of the field in the running game?
It seems that way, and for obvious reasons. He does a terrific job of coming up and run support, always has throughout his career, and it's no different now.
And speaking of your secondary, Leslie Frazier, head coach of the Vikings on Vikings Live at Winter Park, given Aaron Rodgers ran as frequently as he did in the Vikings Green Bay game, and he would just meander out to the right, mostly to the right, sometimes to the left, and just look and look and look, and then say, okay, I'm going to walk out of bounds for a gain of one, two, maybe three. Does that mean your defensive backs were just covering their receivers that well the majority of the game?
No doubt about it. Our secondary did a very good job of not letting the wide receivers of the Green Bay Packers get loose deep for routes. I mean, one of the things that Aaron was looking for in their offense was to be able to take shots down the field, and our secondary did a very good job of taking that away. Unfortunately, we couldn't rush well enough with our four-man rush to keep him in the pocket and keep him from meandering around, as you mentioned, to gain a yard or two here.
Does Blair Walsh take misses hard?
Yeah, but you know what? He's more experienced beyond his years than you would think. As tough as it is for him when he misses, he's able to bounce back from those. And I know he had a tough miss the other day in our game against Green Bay. He'll bounce back. He's a guy who has real good savvy, and he'll learn from that experience.
Those holes for Adrian Peterson were massive. I mean, you can credit what I call the Minnesota Moving Company, the offensive line. And you know what? You also can look at the productivity or lack thereof of Jerome Simpson and John Carlson and say, free agency this. But Jerome Felton was a terrific offseason find for Adrian Peterson and the team.
And you're exactly right. It's a great point. And one of the reasons we signed Jerome Felton is for what you're seeing now. We felt like we needed a lead back in front of Adrian to really help him to be even more productive than he has been in the past. And it's played out just like we hoped that it would.
Assistant coach Mike Singletary and Jerome Felton coming up later on Vikings Live at Winter Park. We're chatting with the head coach right now, Kyle Rudolph, 8 touchdowns. Took another step Sunday by showing he can make acrobatic catches. We know he's tough in tight quarters. He has all those touchdowns. He's the quarterback's best friend. He made a couple of really acrobatic catches in that Green Bay game.
Yeah, he had a couple of one-handers. He's got a wide radius when it comes to catching the football, and when Christian gets it close to him, he finds a way to make a play.
Does Christian need to throw the ball harder? Does he rely on touch passing too much?
There are times when you need to throw the ball with touch, and there are other times where you need to put a little bit more zip on the ball, and he's gotten better at deciding when the time is to do that, and he'll continue to grow in that area.
With that first interception he threw after the long Adrian run, what did you or Bill Musgrave say to him on the sidelines?
We just talked to him about a decision making. You just got to make good decisions in that situation. We're in the scoring zone. At the least, we want to come away with a field goal. So just got to be smart, when it comes to throwing the football.
Brian Urlacher out this weekend, maybe out for the rest of the regular season. And it looks like cornerback Tim Jennings also will miss the game. What will be different for the Bears by having Nick Roach at middle linebacker and not Brian Urlacher?
Well, Urlacher is one of the best to play the game, ever play the game at middle linebacker. So there's going to be a drop-off, although Nick is a very good linebacker, but he's moving from his natural position, which is the outside backer position, yep, to the middle linebacker position. So you would think there's going to be a little bit of a drop-off with that. But it's hard to replace a Brian Urlacher.
What about Geno Hayes replacing Nick Roach on the outside?
Well, Geno's actually been a starter in our league. You know, he started at Tampa Bay, for a couple of years, a number of years there, and had success. So for him to be back in the starting role, you'd think there'll be a little bit of an adjustment, but it won't take long for him to get comfortable.
And does having as many injuries as they have right now, and you'd be the perfect person to ask off Vikings football last year, having to dip into the special teams the way they do when starters go down, does that greatly impact special teams play?
Oh, no doubt about it. When you start moving guys who are your core players on special teams into the starting lineup, you're going to suffer somewhere. Either your base offense or defense, depending on where those guys are coming from, or your special teams is going to suffer over time. So we'll see what type of effect it has on the Bears.
Leslie, how would you describe their offense?
You know, their offense is evolving. Early in the season, they were a drop-back team, just throw it all around the park, and they've gone to a shorter passing game, relying a little bit more on the run game to create some balance with their offense. They haven't gotten away from trying to get the ball to Brandon Marshall. They're going to try to force the ball, but they're not throwing it down the field as much as they were before to protect their offensive line.
Is there anything different about their offense from a couple of weeks ago? How frequently do teams change in such a short period of time?
You know, I don't think they'll change a whole lot. They may give us a little window dressing, you know, do some of the same plays, but give us different looks to get to those plays.
Yep.
But there's not enough time to revamp everything.
Defensively, what worked for the Seattle Seahawks last week at Soldier Field?
Seattle did a real good job of being able to play some press man on those outside receivers, which is a hard thing to do with a guy like Brandon Marshall, although he still finished with 10 catches for 165. So, but they did a pretty good job up front and limiting the run game, and that made a difference.
Your kick coverage has been league best or near the top of the league all season. It's just been terrific, hasn't it?
I tell you, Mike Prefer and Chris White have done a terrific job with our special teams. Our players are really bought into the importance of it. They understand that our special teams phase is as important as what we do on offense, defense, and they've done a terrific job all season long.
When is it going to be fair to broach the topic with you, greatest running back in the history of the NFL? You played with Walter Payton. You coach Adrian Peterson. Six consecutive at plus 100. Just went for 201, three 200-yard games. No ring like Walter. But when is it going to be fair to ask you that question?
Man, you know, Walter played a long time with sustainable success for a long time. So we're seeing something that is very special watching Adrian Peterson. And, you know, if there's anybody that reminds me of Walter, it would be Adrian. He's special.
Thank you, and good luck this weekend.
Thank you.
Leslie Frazier, head coach of the Minnesota Vikings, is former teammate with the Chicago Bears and special assistant to the head coach and co-linebackers coach Mike Singletary is next on the Minnesota Vikings Radio Network.
FM 100.3, The Fan.
Welcome back. Mike Singletary, a special assistant to the head coach and linebackers coach with the Minnesota Vikings, is our assistant coach guest this week on Vikings Live from Winter Park. Coach Singletary, Paul Allen, nice to chat with you on the radio. Mike is in his second year with the Vikings, 54 years of age, from Houston, Texas, married to the lovely Kim, seven children, played at Baylor from 77 to 80, and for the Chicago Bears from 81 to 92, taken in the second round of the 81 NFL draft, and inducted into the Pro Football Hall of Fame in 1998. Of course, the middle linebacker for that famous 1985 Bears team. The 46 defense, does anybody run any consistent version of the 46 defense in the NFL these days, Mike?
Not really. I think there are different teams that really try to do a version of it, but not on a consistent basis.
What was the 46 defense? Can you explain it for maybe the new schoolers listening to Vikings Live at Winter Park?
Well, the 46 defense was really a defense that was unlike any other defense in terms of instead of having a call already predetermined in your mind, it was a call that whatever they came out in offense, it allowed the defense to be able to audible as well and put themselves in the best possible situation to make a play.
How long have you known Vikings head coach Leslie Frazier, and how would you define your relationship with him during that time?
Leslie and I met as rookies, our first year at the Bears, and we were roommates. So got to know Les very early on, and when we broke camp, there were three of us that stayed together, and it was Leslie Frazier, myself, and Todd Bell. So I did the cooking and
the cleaning.
Some of the cleaning, some of that too.
How long? And you and Leslie are both very spiritual people, you know. And I think that that your faith is definitely something about which I've known for years, just being around the facility. What is so significant? How is that so significant in your life when it comes to a very competitive sport like football, as a player or a coach?
I think to each individual is different. It's a different meaning, and it carries out different expressions. But for me, I think it's just been one of those things that I understand how important my faith is. My faith is my identity. And you realize as you go through life that it's so important that you know who you are. And I know that I am in Christ. And my faith is everything. Without my faith, I have no idea where I would be, because it has sustained me. It has continued to help me grow and be the man and the coach and the father and the husband, everything else that that God called me to be.
That's absolutely beautiful, and certainly to faith of a different level, professional faith from a fan standpoint. What I mean, you've done so much. You're a Hall of Famer, one of the great linebackers in the history of the NFL, former head coach, been here for a couple of years, linebackers coach with the Ravens with Ray Lewis. Why should Vikings fans have faith into Sunday's game that the team can turn it around, beat the Bears, and go on a run?
Well, I think the most important thing that for Sunday is that our guys go out and be focused. I think that's really the bottom line. We've been a young team throughout this year, and I think Coach Frazier's done a good job in terms of bringing the guys along and saying the right things, doing the right things, and trying to get the team in a situation where we have some maturity and some belief that we can go out and compete and win. So I think that's kind of where we are. I think all of the things from training camp to this Sunday gives us an opportunity to go out and believe that we can win the game.
What was it like coaching Ray Lewis?
It was a tremendous experience for me, especially starting out as the coach. Because you sort of get spoiled because you're starting at the very top of personnel. I mean, he as a linebacker was about as good as it was going to get, and it was totally different than what I expected coming into the coaching ranks. Ray Lewis was one of those guys that I thought before I met him, this guy is a knucklehead. He's all about Ray Lewis. He's selfish. All of those things. But I tell you what, I was so wrong. I learned a tremendous lesson about people and about individuals and about how not to judge people.
Yeah.
Because when I met him, he was like a kid, and he just said, "Coach, whatever you have, I want." And we developed a great relationship. We met on Tuesdays to just sit down and talk about life. And it was a very rich experience for me.
To a different level, what was it like working with Patrick Willis when you were with the San Francisco 49ers?
Well, it's really interesting. You have a chance to coach two highly thought of linebackers, both as individuals and players, and possible Hall of Famers. Patrick was a guy that coming in, he really didn't have an idea of how good he was. And he came in, and we were at training camp. And after that first day, I grabbed Coach Nolan, who was the head coach at the time, and told him, I said, "This guy will be the best linebacker in the league this year." Mm. And Mike said, "Mike, I know you like him and all that, but don't take it too high too early. I said, I'm telling you what I know." And as he began to play that year, Coach Nolan quickly came to me and said, "Mike, you're exactly right."
Mike Singletary is our guest on Vikings Live at Winter Park. An absolute treat to meet him on the radio. Special assistant to the head coach and co-linebackers coach with the Minnesota Vikings. He works very closely with Fred Puggich. Now, this is going to be, as you can tell already, quite the nostalgic interview. We're going to take a look at the Bears and his stable of linebackers. But when you talk to Mike Singletary, there's just so much that he's done and seen over the years, and including working with Ray Lewis, as we chatted about earlier. And Mike, even though things didn't end in San Francisco the way you wanted them to, do you take any pride in knowing a lot of that roster is what you set up and what you drafted, specifically some key members of that offensive line?
Well, I think first and foremost, I'm a firm believer in when something comes to an end, that you know, you let it go and you move on. So I really don't take any of the credit. I don't take anything. I think for me, it was a tremendous opportunity to become the head coach after about 5 years in the league. And, you know, they could have chosen a number of other people on that staff, but they chose me. So I'll always be thankful for that, and having the opportunity to see and know and experience firsthand what a head coach has to do in order to be successful will always be a very rich experience for me.
How do you and Fred Puggich work in tandem with the linebackers here for the Vikings?
You know, I want to say this first and foremost. When I first got here and I met Pug, he was the most unlikely guy that I wanted to be around. I mean, he is a character. Huh. He is a prankster. He's loud. He can be obnoxious. But I sat down and talked to Fred after a few months after being here. And Fred really knows his defense in and out. And I've been more of an under 34 kind of guy.
Yeah.
And this defense takes me back to my roots. And so getting to know Fred and sitting down with him and talking a lot of football, I'm sure Fred is tired of me now because I ask him a million questions about his defense. And it's been a real blessing. Fred is the guy, and he gets soft every now and then when I talk to him about this. But I said, Fred, I believe that you are the reason, you being here, that God sent me here to meet you and to get to know you. And I'll never forget you and what you've meant to me in my career. But Fred is the one guy that I look forward to seeing every day.
That's fantastic. And with your equity as a player in the National Football League, again, one of the best linebackers in the history of the NFL, do you come across players in the league with whom you've worked or coached, without mentioning any names, who don't have an appreciation for the history of the game? They don't look back. They hear about the 85 Bears, but they don't know about Singletary Eyes and Walter Payton and Refrigerator Perry scoring that touchdown in the Super Bowl and Buddy Ryan getting carried off along with Mike Ditka. Do you think players have a genuine appreciation for the roots of the game?
In all honesty, fortunately or unfortunately, too many of them do. The guys want me to sing the song. They want me to do the Super Bowl shuffle and tease me about it. And it's an amazing thing. I like it when they don't know, and they give me an opportunity to show them who I am, rather than coming in the room and they say, "Hey, Mike Singletary, do the Super Bowl shuffle. Can you sing that?" And so it's been interesting, but. You know, having been a part of the 85 Bears is always one of those things that would be tremendously special for me all of my life.
Let's wrap it up talking about a few of your players and your former team, the Chicago Bears. Mike Singletary, special assistant to Leslie Frazier and co-linebackers coach for the Minnesota Vikings. Chad Greenway leads the NFL in tackles. What's it been like working with Chad?
If I could get Chad to just settle down a little bit, he gets better each game. He is the most intense guy I've ever been around, and just a real joy to work with. He's one of the guys in the league that you really look forward to coaching because he's so receptive, and he's just a wonderful human being. So love Chad Greenway, and he's going to continue to be a great linebacker.
What about our man in the middle, learning from a Hall of Fame middle linebacker, Mike Singletary, Jasper Brinkley?
Jasper, if I had a nickname for him, I'd call him Baby Brother. He's kind of the baby brother on the defense there, and he's kind of behind E.J. Henderson. Aaron knows him well, teases him all the time. So he's kind of like the little brother. But Jasper, to me, is the epitome. I think he has everything that a middle linebacker needs to have. He's got great feet, great eyes. And it's just a matter of getting totally healthy from the hip and so many other things. But I think he's going to be a special linebacker.
And what about Aaron Henderson?
Aaron, my friend Aaron. The thing about Aaron is Aaron is he's a guy that I have told him several times that he has no idea how good he could be. You know, he's not your typical tough-looking, yoked-up kind of guy. He's a slender build. He's kind of laid back. But he is a guy that at some point in time he's going to hit a place where he decides that, you know what, I want to be a great linebacker. And when he does that, it's gonna take off for him.
And for the linebackers in closing, Mike, what are the keys, whether it's in the base 4-3 or the nickel, to slowing the Chicago Bears offense and assisting in hopefully a victory this Sunday?
Well, I think the key for us, particularly as linebackers, is and the defense, we have to make sure that we are the most physical team on the field. And every opportunity that we have to chase the football and hit the guy with the football as hard as we possibly can, with as many friends as we possibly can, that will go a long ways toward winning this football game.
That was an absolute honor, sir. And thank you for joining Vikings Live at Winter Park. And bless you and best of luck this weekend, okay?
Thank you, sir. God bless you.
Hall of Famer Mike Singletary, co-linebackers coach and special assistant to Leslie Frazier. And coming up next is Jerome Felton, fullback for the Minnesota Vikings, all across the Minnesota Vikings radio network. Welcome back to Vikings Live at Winter Park. I'm Paul Allen. Very happy to be joined by Minnesota Vikings fullback Jerome Felton, our featured player all throughout the Vikings radio network for this evening's broadcast. Jerome Felton is in his first year with the Minnesota Vikings, fifth year in the National Football League, played with the Detroit Lions at one point. In fact, originally joined the NFL as a fifth-round pick by the Lions from Furman. And Jerome joins us now. Jerome, it's Paul Allen. How are you?
Doing good, Paul. How you doing?
Great, thank you. For those of us who don't follow Furman College football very closely, how did you end up at Furman, and where is it located?
Well, I'm from a real small town in Tennessee called Madisonville. So coming out of high school, I didn't really know much about recruiting, and I went to a Vanderbilt camp. And Bobby Johnson, who was the coach at Vanderbilt, used to coach at Furman. They offered me a gray shirt, really wasn't interested in that. So they got in contact with the coaches at Furman, and I ended up there. But they are in Greenville, South Carolina. That's where they're located.
Okay. And your trek through the National Football League from the Detroit Lions, you played with Carolina and Indianapolis, and now you're with the Minnesota Vikings. Define your career. What type of career do you feel you've had, Jerome?
To make it from where I'm from and, going to Furman and being drafted where I was drafted, I played in Detroit for 3 years. Last year, it was a tough year. I got claimed by Carolina. They weren't really using a fullback. Then I got claimed by Indianapolis, finished the year out. So, honestly, I look at this year as starting my career. You know, this is the first team I've been on that's, dedicated to running the ball, really has given me the opportunity to make an impact for the team on the field, and I've enjoyed it. And so obviously playing 5 years in the NFL, I've already beat the odds, so I kind of this feel like this is a new start, and obviously it's gotten off to a good start so far.
So as a fullback for the Carolina Panthers, were you blocking for D'Angelo Williams and Jonathan Stewart?
I would have liked to have been, but but they were running a lot of shotgun and some of the stuff Cam ran in college. So when I was in there, yeah, I was blocking for them, and they're two great running backs too. But I just didn't feel like we were doing enough of that at the time.
How long were you with the Panthers?
I was there for 10 weeks, and then and like I said, weren't really using me much. They ended up releasing me, and I got claimed by Indy, and I spent 6 weeks there.
What were your opinions, or what was the opinion you left with Jerome about Cameron Newton, who was a rookie last year from Auburn?
Super talented, a freak athlete. You know, you just look at him, you're like, you know, it's kind of almost like, wow, this guy's built to, you know, be a quarterback in the NFL. But I think, you know, he'll mature as he goes on in the league. But I think he has a bright future. This year is just a stumbling block for him, and he'll be okay.
And Christian Ponder entered the NFL at the same time Cam Newton did. Cam goes first, Christian goes 12th. What about the progression of your quarterback, Christian Ponder? He's come across some tough times, but he's also had some good memories in his first 2 years in the NFL. What do you think is next for Christian Ponder in terms of the improvement process?
Like you said, you know, he started off the season really strong. We as a team hit kind of a rough patch here lately, but he's still a young quarterback and he's still developing. And, I think he has all the tools. I think he's a good leader. I think he has room to grow, and he will. And I think he's going to be a good quarterback for the Minnesota Vikings.
With the time you spent against the Detroit Lions, and you now have played the Detroit Lions twice this year, you swept the Lions. Does that mean something to you to sweep a team that brought you into the league and did not believe in you enough to keep you?
Yeah, it was an important game for me to really go out there and play well and, kind of show them what they're missing. So, I think I did that. But, you try not to look at it like that. But, just personally, there's some feelings there. You know, I still got a lot of friends on that team. And whether, I liked how it ended or not, I'm happy to be a part of the Minnesota Vikings. And they're a division opponent, just like the Bears who we play this week. And, to sweep them, felt good. And it's something we need to do. And, I was really happy to get that done.
In 2008, 9, and 10, you played for the Lions. And you went against two of those three Vikings teams you went against were pretty good. The 2008 team won the division. The 2009 team almost went to the Super Bowl. And then in 2010, it fell off a bit. What do you remember about being a fullback and running against the Vikings defense?
We always knew it was going to be one of those, bring your lunch pail kind of games. They always had really good linebackers where it was Chad, Ben Lieber, EJ in the middle, all tough, big physical linebackers. And I knew it was going to be one of those type of games. It's going to be physical. And I enjoyed playing the Vikings. I always had a good time. And I always tell people, being a fullback, it's all about your opportunities, to be on the field, having an offense coordinator that believes in the position. And I just remember, when I used to, playing that game and still watching when Minnesota's offense was on the field and watching Adrian, I just knew that, I was like, if I can get to block for him one day, I think it'll be something special. And, that's why I'm happy to be here. And, it's a great place for me.
And that opportunity has arrived. Jerome Felton is with us on Vikings Live at Winter Park. He's a fullback for the Minnesota Vikings, and he also had a lot to do with that 61-yard touchdown run by Adrian Peterson in the Detroit game at Mall of America Field as they ran to the right side. And that's kind of the beauty of it, Jerome, is with that specific play against the Lions, it kind of personifies the Vikings' rushing offense in that you had two tight ends to the right and an I formation. And it looked like an 80% run-right possibility, and indeed you guys ran right, And Detroit still couldn't stop it. That's what makes Adrian, you, this offensive line, the tight ends and the receivers, just so very tough. Even when teams know you're going to run, you still do it well.
Yeah, I mean, obviously we get a lot of 8-9 guys in the box. And to date, we really haven't been stopped when it comes to our running game. And, that's a credit to the offensive line. It's a credit to the tight ends, the receivers blocking downfield, and, hopefully myself and Adrian. But, we have a lot of faith in our running game. And no matter who you put in the box or what look you give us, we feel like we should be able to get that accomplished. And so far, we've been able to do that at a pretty good clip.
When Adrian was younger in his career, Jerome, he went public, either went public or told Pete Bursich, the analyst with the Vikings Radio Network, he did not prefer running behind a fullback, that he liked to be the single set. Do you notice that he runs better behind a fullback or when he's back there by himself? What are your thoughts?
You know, Adrian obviously is a great running back, and he's a Hall of Fame running back. And I think in college, I'm not sure, but I think he used to run out of one back mostly in college. So I'm sure it was a transition for him. I mean, I think if you look at the numbers this year, obviously out of two back, we're pretty successful. So,
yep.
You know, my job is just to make it easier on him. You know, I think he's going to like whatever works. He's one of those type of runners. He can adjust to any situation, whether he's in one back, whether he's in two back. And like I said, if it works, I think he'll like it. And, you know, my job is to make it easier on him. You know, I kind of look at it as like being his bodyguard somewhat.
Yeah.
And, you know, that, I think that's what's most important. Whatever works, I think he'll be good to go with. And, you know, right now it's definitely working out two back.
Jerome, is the fullback a dying breed in the pass-happy NFL?
It's hard to say. I really don't like when I hear that, just for the simple fact I am a fullback. But, you know, honestly, I think the biggest thing is I don't think there's a lot of good fullbacks. You know, you look in college, everything's going to the spread offense. So, you know, I'm not sure if there's a lot of guys that develop at fullback in college. So, you know, it's kind of hard when you get the NFL just switching positions. But, you know, I feel like if you can find a good fullback and you are dedicated to being able to run the football, that, you know, it's still a vital role in offenses today.
And being a fullback is a very physically taxing position. You have to be a born giver in that you're not going to get much, but you're going to be given you're going to be giving a lot. How did you determine you wanted to be a fullback and not focus on becoming a tailback or playing another position that may be a little more high profile?
You know, in high school and college, you know, I was a runner. I played fullback also, obviously, but I ran the ball a lot. And I always credit to Sam Gash was my running back coach in Detroit, you know, coming out of the NFL or coming out of college.
Yeah.
And he kind of, if you know anything about Sam Gash, you know, he was a top-notch fullback for a lot of years in the NFL, pro bowler, tough guy. You know, he taught me a lot, kind of taught me the position. And I credit a lot of the things I can do now with just the mentality he provided me with. And, you know, I give him a lot of credit. And I really think he kind of switched my mindset and kind of let me know how it has to be done. And that goes back to, like I said, being Adrian's basically bodyguard and not having any hesitation, you know, be willing to go in there and knowing it's going to be a car wreck, but being able to come back the next play just as hard. And, you know, I enjoy it. You know, every time Adrian breaks off a long run, I'm trying to sprint as fast as I can to meet him in the end zone. And, you know, it's like I said, just being a part of, you know, something that he's doing, and hopefully we can make history together. And, you know, it's just something I take pride in at this point.
You've never scored a touchdown in the National Football League, have you?
Oh, man, yeah. That's been kind of rough because I was known for that in college. So it's been a little hard, but but yeah, that's true.
But it's not on tape. So, therefore, if you're looking for something new at this stage of the season, not only do we need Felton in the flat, maybe Felton on an angle route inside the 20, and there he goes.
There you go. I take him pride in being versatile too, so I can do it all.
I really enjoy your company, Jerome, and it's really cool having you on the team. Best of luck. You're very good at what you do, and Adrian Peterson obviously is very thankful for you. He may be on his way to 2,000 yards this year. A lot of it has come out of a two-back set. You have a lot to do with that. You should be very proud.
I appreciate it, Paul. Thanks for having me on. And, you know, I just want to say thanks to all the Vikings fans for all the support. And, you know, we'll see you guys this Sunday in Mall of America Field.
My man, have a good day.
All right, you too.
That's Jerome Felton, fullback for the Minnesota Vikings. And speaking of the Vikings, we invite you to join the Fan this upcoming Tuesday. It's Tuesday, December 11th, Mall of America for the annual Toys for Tots Drive. The Fan will broadcast all day from the Southeast Court. Stop by and drop a new toy or make a cash donation to Toys for Tots, and you could win great prizes and have a chance to meet Vikings players. Again, that is Tuesday, December 11th, Mall of America. You can get your information online at KFAN.com or Vikings.com. We thank Jerome Felton, fullback for the Minnesota Vikings, for joining us on Vikings Live at Winter Park, heard exclusively on the Minnesota Vikings Radio Network.
Point three, The Fan.
Welcome back. Mike Wobshaw from Vikings.com joins us now for the adversarial update. But first, protect the football at Buffalo Wild Wings. It's football the way it should be. Play the VIP scratch game and you could win a VIP experience. Buffalo Wild Wings discounts and more. Buffalo Wild Wings. Wings, beer, sports, and Wobby from Vikings.com. Good evening. Welcome to Vikings Live at Winter Park.
Hey, Paul. Good show so far.
Thank you. And for you, Bob Hagan, Tom West, John Ekstrom, Jeff Anderson, everybody else with the media relations staff, I can't thank you enough for arranging that interview with Mike Singletary.
That was good. You did a good job.
Thank you. It's the first time we've had him on Vikings Live at Winter Park. Yeah. And, you know, I think some of the fan in me came out in that he's one of the most recognized players in the history of the National Football League.
Certainly.
And sometimes from my standpoint, your standpoint, even a fan standpoint, you need to take a step back and stop complaining about what Christian Ponder is doing or not doing, what's happening here, guessing on what Percy Harvin's deal is, and just recognize greatness. And just be privileged to be able to sit down for 15 minutes and talk football with Mike Singletary.
Well, I mean, Mike Singletary went into the Pro Football Hall of Fame as a player in 1998. Mm-hmm. I mean, that's how long ago it was.
Yeah.
But that he went in so soon, that tells you how great of a player he was as well. I mean, you think about Ray Lewis, for people who follow the game now, Ray Lewis. He's one of the greatest middle linebackers to ever play. Mm-hmm. That, I mean, that's what Mike Singletary was in that era, maybe even better.
Yeah.
So that's the type of player that you're dealing with there. And Mike Singletary on Leslie's staff, of course, they were teammates with the Bears, and someone that Leslie relies on quite a bit.
And Mike's former team is the Chicago Bears. We were losers to them at Soldier Field a couple of weeks ago. Adversarial update, Mr.
Yep.
Wabshaw. What's going to change Sunday?
Well, I think some of the faces are going to change. You're not going to see Brian Urlacher, so that's going to hurt the Bears, I think. And Tim Jennings may not play. There's several other players who may or may not play for the Bears. That's certainly the case for the Vikings. Now, we can't rely on that leading us to a victory, because the Packers, that was a banged-up bunch, too, and they beat us.
So, yes, it was, Michael.
So the Vikings are still going to have to execute, and it's going to be the same story for the Vikings offense. Adrian Peterson, he's going to come into the building, and he's going to run wild. And Chicago's going to try and stop it, and I don't think they're going to be able to. They're going to try.
Right.
I don't think they're going to be able to. If they do, congratulations to them. They stopped Adrian Peterson. That's a great job by them. But I'm not counting on it. Six straight 100-yard games for Adrian. So I'm not sweating that. I'm not sweating Urlacher out. How do they defend the run with a new middle linebacker? Do they move Nick Roach over? All that. Well, this comes down to Christian Ponder and our passing offense. And if they're able to capitalize and take advantage of what Chicago leaves exposed as they try to stop Adrian Peterson. And, and anyone who's watched the Vikings this season knows that's what this game is going to come down to for the Vikings. We need improvement out of the passing game. I think Christian Ponder is poised to do that this week. So our offense against their defense, that's really what it comes down to me. I'm expecting another 100-yard game for Adrian, and I'm expecting a big bounce back from Christian.
The best games of Christian Ponder's career have come at Mall of America Field. Last year, Denver, nearly 400 yards, three touchdowns. This year, at home versus the 49ers, and a mini masterpiece against the Lions, where he hit nine guys, 10 including himself.
Yep.
Christian's better at home. That happens to a lot of young quarterbacks.
I think so. I think you're more comfortable there. You have the crowd on your side typically. I think that helps you. It's just mostly a confidence thing and a comfort. And we've seen Christian relies on confidence and comfort, and that's fine. That's a crutch that young quarterbacks are going to rely on, and that's acceptable. So you always want to start out fast. It doesn't matter if you have a young quarterback at home or a veteran on the road. You want to start out fast, obviously. But that's really what Christian did against San Francisco. If you go back to week three, that's what he did against Detroit. If you go back a few weeks ago playing Detroit at Mall of America Field, he hits that one, the first snap of the game, to Jerome Felton out in the flat, and there we go. I mean, he was in rhythm the rest of the game, completed 75% of his passes. So those didn't equal gaudy numbers for Christian that game, but we don't need gaudy numbers from Christian to win. We need solid play and no turnovers, and hand the ball to Adrian.
Mike Wabshaw, Vikings.com. Adversarial update for the Vikings Radio Network. Empty your notebook here, Wabby. Carry us through the Bears over the next 2.5 minutes.
Well, here's the thing. Special teams-wise, we don't talk a lot about that, but I think that's an important facet of this game, and here's why. With Blair Walsh, he already has a single-season record for touchbacks, but Mike Prefer and Blair Walsh and our kickoff coverage group have not tried to blast a touchback every time. It's depended on who they've played and how good the returner is. There have been games where they've tried to put some hang time underneath the kickoffs, Paul, have the kick land at the goal line or 1 or 2 yards deep, and then cover it and stop him inside the 20 rather than blasting out of the end zone and making him start at the 20. Now, I respect that philosophy, and I think it's worked. but not this week. This week, you want touchbacks,
yep.
And here's why. This Bears offense has just 7 touchdown drives of 80 yards or longer this season.
I think we have 10.
We have 10, okay? Yep. And, you know, we've had our struggles offensively sustaining drives. Well, we have more of those drives than Chicago. And then when you go to 60-yard drives, only 56% of their drives have gone for 60 or more yards on a touchdown. Mm-hmm. We're at 75, mm-hmm. okay? So this is a Bears offense. All respect to them. This is not a Bears offense that drives the ball methodically on you. This is a Bears offense that relies on their defense turning it over and giving them good field position. As such, I think Blair Walsh should be blasting the ball through the end zone, touchbacks, make them start at the 20, and win the field position battle.
Got to hit Jay Cutler, too. 1 sack when he fell. Chicago native Fred Evans touches him down. With all due respect to the squad we love, a minute to go, have to do better than that.
Yeah, no question about it. 17 sacks the Vikings have at Mall of America Field. I think we have 28 or 29 on the season, 17 of them coming here at home. And then, of course, we had 5 at Ford Field, I believe, another dome stadium. So inside on the fast turf, Vikings pass rush is much better. I expect Jay Cutler to get hit by our guys.
Thank you very much, Wobby.
See you, Paul.
Mike Wobshaw from Vikings.com, and I'm Paul Allen. We remind you to stop by Buffalo Wild Wings tomorrow in Coon Rapids for the Friday football feast. It's from 9 to noon on the flagship for Vikings football, FM 100.3 The Fan, and also features Paul Charchi and the Every Friday co-host. Get the complete schedule via my show page, the Paul Allen Show page, at KFAN.com. We thank the producers of Vikings Live at Winter Park, Jay and Joe Nelson, along with Tim Cobb. We also thank the media relations staff here for the Minnesota Vikings for assisting us on a weekly basis. The executive producer of the Vikings Radio Network is Chad Abbott, and the executive producer of the Vikings Entertainment Network is Brian Harper. For all of us here at the Vikings Entertainment Network and with the Vikings Radio Network, I'm Paul Allen. That's Vikings Live at Winter Park, all across the Minnesota Vikings Radio Network.